ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time once again for political humorist and satirist Bill Melberg from Chicago. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Stevie J. Good morning, Diane Ducey.
Good morning.
And good morning, ESPN Radio listeners.
Bill, the first presidential debate taking place in Denver next week. It's going to be a gentlemanly discussion, or is it? Or will it be a fireworks display?
Well, Stevie and Diane, I don't think we'll see a lot of fireworks, as neither Barack Obama nor Mitt Romney tends to shout and scream during debates. They both seem to offer carefully measured words. At least that was the case 4 years ago with candidate Obama. And Mitt Romney was basically a gentleman throughout the Republican primary debates. Of course, that's not to say that the discussion won't be heated. Needless to say, President Obama and Governor Romney have two very different points of view of the world and of America, and I expect them to make those views quite clear. In Governor Romney's case, Mitt's never going to win a Mr. Personality contest, but all he needs to do is come across as a competent administrator, someone who can get the American economy back on track again.
Well, joining us to talk about the debates are nine former presidential candidates, including four former presidents. First, we're honored to welcome former presidents Jimmy Carter.
Hi, Stevie. Hi, Diane.
Hello.
George Herbert Walker Bush, number 41.
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Morning.
His son, George W. Bush, number 43.
Howdy, Stevie. Howdy, Diane.
Hello.
And William Jefferson Clinton.
Hello, Stevie.
Hello.
Hello, Diane.
Hi.
we're also joined by five unsuccessful presidential candidates. Former Senator Bob Dole, who ran for president in 1988 and again in 1996.
Bob Dole says hello.
Congressman Ron Paul, who ran for president. How many times has it been, Congressman?
Well, let's see. There was this time, there was the last time, and at least one other time when I ran as a Libertarian candidate. Let's just make it three times, and I'll win for sure the next time around.
Okay. Whatever you say, Congressman. We also want to welcome Senator John McCain, the Republican nominee for president 4 years ago.
Hello, my friends.
Billionaire Ross Perot, who ran as an independent candidate in 92 and 96.
Howdy, Stevie. Howdy, Diane.
Hello.
And before we get started, I just want to remind you all that I've brought along some of my charts to show the audience what I'm talking about here today. And by the way, I made these charts all by myself.
Mr. Perot, first of all, this is radio. No one can see your charts. Secondly, before we get started, I need to introduce one last guest, former Vice President Al Gore.
Last, but certainly not least, Stevie and Diane. After all, even though I lost the Electoral College in 2000, I did win the popular vote, and I've won an Oscar and a Nobel Prize. Now show me anyone else on this panel who can say that.
I'm sure you're the only one, sir. And with those lengthy introductions out of the way, let's get our conversation started. First, let me ask if any of you has any favorite debate moment. Does any particular memory come to mind when you think about presidential debates?
Stevie?
Yes, Senator Dole. Do you have any special debate memory you'd like to share with us?
Absolutely. Bob Dole will never forget the big debate at the Coles County Fairground in Charleston back in 58.
I don't remember any debate at the Coles County Fairground in 1958.
Well, that's because you weren't born yet, Stevie. Bob Dole isn't talking about 1958. Bob Dole's talking about 1858 and the Lincoln-Douglas debate in Charleston. Of course, Bob Dole was just a kid back then, teenage Republican. But that's when Bob Dole decided that someday Bob Dole was going to run for president, and Bob Dole was going to turn in a performance just like Abraham Lincoln.
President Clinton, do you want to add something to Senator Dole's comments?
Yes, I do. First of all, that someday came in 1996, and I whooped Senator Dole fair and square, not only in the debates, but also in the election.
Senator Dole?
Stevie, Bob Dole wasn't the only presidential candidate who lost to Slick Willie. He turned down his charm against George Bush, too. So why don't you ask George Bush 41 about the 1992 debate?
President Bush, how about that 1992 debate? As I recall, you lost some points when you looked at your watch, as if you were bored by the whole thing. Is that why Bill Clinton defeated you, too?
No, Stevie. It wasn't the watch thing. And it wasn't Bill Clinton who defeated me in 1992. It was that crazy old coot, Ross Perot, and his stupid charts and infomercials. Ross Perot took away votes from me that fall, and in the process, he enabled Bill Clinton to win with less than 50% of the vote. But, Stevie, I'd rather think about the 1988 election, which I won. And since you asked about favorite debate moments, how about this comment by my opponent back then, former Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis? This was during our second debate in 1988. Notice the lack of emotion that Governor Dukakis displayed when moderator Bernard Shaw asked him an outrageous question about the hypothetical murder of his wife, Kitty. I mean, this guy was one cold fish. Just listen to this.
The first question goes to Governor Dukakis. You have 2 minutes to respond. Governor, if Kitty Dukakis were raped and murdered, would you favor an irrevocable death penalty for the killer?
No, I don't, Bernard, and I think you know that I've opposed the death penalty during all of my life. I don't see any evidence that it's a deterrent, and I think there are better and more effective ways to deal with violent crime. We've done so in my own state, and it's one of the reasons why we have had the biggest drop in crime of any industrial state in America, why we have the lowest murder rate of any industrial state in America.
Wow. Not exactly a lot of passion there. Let me turn to President Jimmy Carter for a moment. Mr. President, do you remember what you said during your 1980 debate when Ronald Reagan, when someone asked you what was the most important issue in that year's campaign?
Yes, I mentioned a conversation I had with my daughter, Amy, about the most important issue facing the world at that time. Amy said nuclear proliferation, and I agreed.
How old was Amy at the time?
She was about 12 or 13 at that time, and of course Amy was a highly intelligent child, which is why I almost made her my Secretary of Defense.
A 13-year-old Secretary of Defense?
No, not really. I'm just kidding. But she did cite nuclear proliferation as our greatest threat.
Wow, I can hardly say nuclear proliferation.
And as you might have noticed, I can't say nuclear.
Turning to next week's debate between President Obama and Governor Romney, what should the president say about his opponent, Vice President Al Gore?
Well, Stevie and Diane, I believe President Obama should stick to the facts. And here are the pertinent facts regarding Governor Mitt Romney. Number one, Mitt Romney is a filthy rich snob who, by his own admission, likes to fire people and couldn't care less about 47% of the American people. Number two, Mitt Romney tied his dog to the roof of his car during family vacations. Number three, Mitt Romney bullied other boys when he was a spoiled son of a governor in a private school in Michigan. Number four, Mitt Romney speaks French. Number five, Mitt Romney is waging a war against women. And finally, number six, Mitt Romney comes across as dull and robotic. Wait a minute. Scratch that last point. There's nothing wrong with coming across as dull and robotic.
Senator John McCain, you debated Barack Obama 4 years ago. What should Governor Romney say about President Obama next week's debate?
Stevie, my friend,
Governor Romney should say what I failed to say about Barack Obama 4 years ago.
And what did you fail to say?
Stevie, during my debates with Barack Obama 4 years ago, I forgot to mention that Barack Obama is an inexperienced, incompetent, Lenin-loving socialist. He's also a Chicago political hack who employs thug tactics in his campaigns. Of course, other than that, Barack Obama's a very nice guy. And nice guys finish last, I hope.
And on that hopeful note, I want to thank our distinguished panel for their comments about presidential debates, past and future. When we come back, Bill Malberg will be bringing us his favorite presidential debate moment, and you won't want to miss it. So stay tuned. ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3. 849 ESPN Radio, 3-day forecast from the National Weather Service.
Sunshine shaping up to be a nice day, a little breezy, high 71, low 47. 74 the high tomorrow with sunshine, down to 48. 71 on Sunday with sunshine again, down to around 43. Right now we're at 54. We're ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3.
And this Wall Street Journal update now brought to you by Busey Bank. Right back to conclude with Bill Malberg's favorite political debate moment, presidential debate moment. That'll be next. ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3 at 8:50. It's 10 till 9 on this Friday morning.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Jennifer Kishinko. Stocks opening broadly lower. The Dow Industrials down 95 at 13,390. The Nasdaq's down 17. The S&P 500 off 9. Frostbank's Bob Scraper expects those swings to continue.
It's been fairly volatile, but the trend has been up. So right now, given the little pullback we've had of 3 or 4%, I'm guessing that this is just another pullback in what hopefully is an ongoing trend up.
Bank of America says it settled a class action lawsuit with investors who purchased or held Bank of America securities at the time the company announced plans to acquire Merrill Lynch. B of A will pay $2.4 billion. Competition in the tablet market is heating up. Sources say Google will unveil two new Nexus tablet devices costing $100 and $200 for sale by the end of the year. The releases are timed to coincide with Apple's expected release of a smaller version of its industry-leading iPad. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
Futures trading involves substantial risk.
Hi, everyone. I'm Larry Levin, president of TradingAdvantage.com. You've probably seen me being interviewed on TV. I'm on there a lot talking about the markets. My company is the leading educational firm teaching people how to become professional traders. My office is right here in the Chicago Board of Trade. I've been on the floor for 22 years and ended up being one of the biggest traders in the S&P pit. Now I spend most of my time teaching people like you how to professionally day trade mini S&P futures. I actually wrote a book, How I Made $1.9 Million Trading in Only a Few Short Years. Now I'm giving you one of my most successful trading techniques and my daily market report for free. Just leave me your email address on my voicemail. Call 800-264-0212 and I'll email you my free trading technique and daily market report at no cost to you. Again, just leave me your email address on my voicemail at 800-264-0212. That's 800-264-0212.
Futures and options trading involves substantial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Centennial High School presents Disney's The Little Mermaid, the story of a young mermaid willing to give up her life in the sea and her identity as a mermaid to gain a human soul and the love of a human prince. Centennial High School, The Little Mermaid, October 3rd, 4th, and 5th at Aldridge Auditorium. All shows at 7 p.m. The Little Mermaid. Tickets available at the door or by calling 351-3951. The Little Mermaid, October 3rd, 4th, and 5th at Centennial High School.
We are back with regular Friday morning political roundup with Bill Malberg. Bill joins us once again from Chicago. Bill, we're talking about in our first segment about favorite presidential debate moments. You have one of those?
Yes, I do, Stevie and Diane, and it's one that I know you've mentioned before as one of your favorites, too. I'm not too sure we've actually played it. I know we've talked about it, but I'm not too sure we've played it. So let's take a listen as Ronald Reagan is asked about the age issue during his 1984 debate with former Vice President Walter Mondale.
You already are the oldest president in history, and some of your staff say you were tired after your most recent encounter with Mr. Mondale. I recall yet that President Kennedy had to go for days on end with very little sleep during the Cuba Missile Crisis. Is there any doubt in your mind that you would be able to function in such circumstances?
Not at all, Mr. Truitt, and I want you to know that also I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit for political purposes my opponent's youth and inexperience.
Walter Mondale's laughing.
Well, what a way to diffuse a sensitive issue. By joking about his age, Ronald Reagan brushed that issue aside. It never came up again during those debates, other than to talk about Walter Mondale's youth and inexperience.
I mean, just tremendous. I mean, it was really, really tremendous how he always handled those things. He was just a delight to watch. You were comfortable watching him. And just enjoyed his humor because he had great humor. Ronald Reagan had a lot. In fact, didn't he collect jokes?
He did, about the Soviet Union. But humor is a great way to make a point.
Yep.
That said, I don't think Mitt Romney should diffuse his image as a crass, uncaring multimillionaire by making any $10,000 bets with President Obama.
Yeah,
during
no,
the
that's
debate.
Right. Yeah, that was. No, I agree. Hey, of course, you go all the way back to the first televised one with John Kennedy and Richard Nixon, where people on radio thought that Richard Nixon had won.
Well, that's because he came across well on radio, but he looked bad on television.
It looked like he needed to shave a few more times. It was just unbelievable. So
he got his 5 o'clock shadowed around noon.
Yeah, right. Poor Richard Nixon. I mean, crying out loud.
Richard. up against this young senator from Massachusetts.
That's right. John Kennedy.
Hey, by the way, I love your new announcer there at ESPN Radio, that fella doing the Little Mermaid commercial.
Yeah, we got the kids doing some of those spots, and I tell you what, we're wrapped up in that musical next week at Centennial. Hey, Bill, before we let you go, the debates are going to be important?
Oh, very important, because it seems the mainstream media doesn't know that there's a man named Mitt Romney running for president. So this is Governor Romney's chance to really be heard. That is, if a majority of the nation's voters tune in and listen to the debates.
I can write the story right now of how it's going to be presented. It's one of those deals. I remember Lou Henson, when he was being interviewed by ABC at a football game, a friend of mine said, "Coach, what do you think they're going to ask you?" And Lou said, "I don't know, but I know what I'm going to say." He says, "I don't know what their questions are, but I do know my answers." And I can write right now what the media will say about that debate. Barack Obama's going to win, and he's going to come across cool and experienced to a very wealthy-looking country club guy. It's just going to – it's so predictable. Bill
– except for Fox News. They'll
that's right.
A
that's
more
right.
Fair and balanced.
Yep. Listen, thank you for your time, Mr. Melberg. Talk to you next week.
Oscar Wawa.